You're listening to the West Coast Garden Girls podcast, a show dedicated to garden living in the warm and sunny coastal climates of California and surrounding states. And we are your mother-daughter co-hosts, Tamara and Leslie. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the West Coast Gardening Girls podcast. It's a brand new, this is episode one, gardening podcast co-hosted by me. My name is Leslie and my wonderful mother. Mom, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Tamara, Leslie's mom.
Not only my mom, but also an epic master gardener, and we'll get into the details of all of that. This is our absolute first episode. Really excited to get it started. And we'll talk about sort of why we're doing what we're doing. But first, let's also mention where we're located. So I am in San Francisco. I live in a neighborhood called the Inner Richmond District. I've lived here for over 10 years. It's a beautiful area. I would never change what neighborhood I live in, but it's full of challenges as well. And we'll get into that. Mom, where are you?
I'm about 50 to 60 miles east of San Francisco, closer to the inland valleys in Livermore. So a much hotter and drier climate.
And let's talk about also why we're choosing to start this podcast, because there are a couple of reasons, aren't there? One big one being that our combined experiences as gardeners are very different, but also very complementary. I live in an urban, small space gardening environment. You live in a suburban environment with a much larger garden. I am what I would call a competent gardener, but basically novice, while you are a certified master gardener. Living in San Francisco, I'm much more seaside. You're more inland. My garden is very botanical, while yours is pretty much everything under the sun, but also very eclectic indeed. And you have quite a bit of edible plants in your yard as well. And another one that I think probably wouldn't come to mind immediately is that you own your home, where I'm a renter, and a lot of people overlook how you garden and what decisions you might make for your own yard based on whether or not you own that property. Together, I think that we are a great representation of someone who's just getting into gardening for the first time, and someone who's been doing it for years and years, and just has so much wisdom and knowledge to share. So that's the format that we will be using to talk about this podcast. I'll represent all of you beginner gardeners out there, and my mom will represent basically the book of wisdom. But I'm sure both of us will learn all kinds of new and interesting things along the way. But there's another reason we wanted to start a gardening podcast, isn't there, Mom?
There is. What we both discovered in searching for our own podcasts and information is that there really is very little out there. I have been unable to find very much out there that focuses on the West Coast. I find a lot of podcasts out of Great Britain, the UK. Even here in the US, it tends to hover around the East Coast, somewhat in the Midwest, but really not a whole lot out here in California. And we have such a perfect environment, perfect climate for gardening. It just seems sad. You know, it's a hole that needs to be filled.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And honestly, I don't understand why. I was trying to figure out, you know, there are so many amazing gardening podcasts and gardening shows out there, but they're oftentimes based just not in our area, or they're completely out of the country. And I started to wonder, is it because our climate is so beautiful? Is there nothing to figure out? Are there no problems to be solved because we live in such a wonderful climate for growing all types of things that maybe, you know, other parts of the world aren't as fortunate to be able to grow? But I disagree with that wholeheartedly. I think that there's plenty of challenges, even on the sunny West Coast of California. And we're going to get into those. So yeah. I hope that there are people out there that feel the same way, that really want to get into gardening and love podcasting or listening to podcasts while gardening, which is something that I know you and I both really love to do, Mom. So yeah, why don't we, let's set the stage. Let's both describe our gardens, you know, what we have planted, sort of the landscape or the layout of it, the size of it and everything. So why don't I go ahead? I'll start. Is that cool? Okay, great. So I already mentioned that I live in San Francisco, in the Inner Richmond District. I'm very close to Golden Gate Park, which is one of the biggest parks in the country, actually. So I know that's not very specific about what area that I'm in. But I love being close to Golden Gate Park because every time I get to walk or hike or bicycle around that area, I also get to window shop. And see, you know, what is working in this beautiful, well cared for area that's working in this climate that I also share. So it's a good gauge for me to understand what might work in my own yard, and just by being able to go and visit the park next door to me. That being said, my own yard is quite small. I don't think it could be more than maybe 1,000 square feet, Mom. I haven't honestly measured. maybe more like 800. But I do love having such a small space because it enables me to pack in a lot of plants and have the look and feel of the garden look very just lush, without it feeling like I have nothing but endless work to do. My zone is 10B. So again, very nice climate, lots of plants that are very happy, in that very sunny, rather dry, but warm environment. We don't have frost at night or anything like that. And because I'm close to the ocean, I mean, I'm a good 30 blocks away from the ocean, but still, you know, San Francisco is more or less an island. The result is that my soil, the natural soil that was there when I first moved into my apartment 10 years ago, is very sandy and the air is very salty. And so that's one of the considerations that I have to make when I'm choosing new things to plant in the yard and when I'm maintaining. So, okay, what is the style of my garden? I love a lush, romantic English garden. So not surprisingly, my yard is almost entirely botanical, because my objective is for it to be an absolute mood. Like the time I'm through with it, I want Vogue to request it for photo shoots. Not that I'll ever be done with it. I've styled it after a traditional moon garden. And nearly everything in it is a white blooming flower with a lot of fragrance. That's my area of focus. I have a medium-sized stone paver patio, a black Victorian era fountain, a teeny tiny little greenhouse that I bought from the Home Depot a number of years ago. And then on the left-hand side of the yard, I have what I call my pollinator wall. So it's planted with all kinds of pollinator attracting plants. There's three varieties of lavender. I recently planted, I think it's pronounced Calibrochoa. Okay. yes, that. Also sedum, some variety of sedum. I'm not really sure which, but butterflies love it. And also white licorice vine, which is so wonderful when it blooms. It smells like honey. Other things that I'm growing, there's English ivy all around all of my fencing. And recently I've planted mock orange, the Belle Etoile variety, which I know is very common and very popular. Night Phlox, incredibly fragrant. It's also known as Midnight Candy, and that grows right next to my window. I've recently planted sugar snap peas, August Beauty Gardenia, which I have yet to see bloom because it's brand new, but I anticipate in August, I guess. I have two varieties of hydrangea, climbing hydrangea, and an Annabelle, also very popular variety of hydrangea. I've recently planted incense bush, Duke of Tuscany jasmine, and also star jasmine. Gravity giants, also don't know if I'm getting the pronunciation on those correct, but they look just like snowdrops, but apparently they're not as poisonous or not poisonous. And that's important to me, is I don't own a dog or have any pets myself, but I do have furry visitors that come. So I try not to grow anything that would be harmful to them if they were to consume it. Blueberries. I have a generic lemon tree. I just recently started growing yerba mate and peppermint. I have four iceberg rose bushes that have been there since the very beginning when I first moved in. Those were the first things that I plunked into the ground. Silver eucalyptus, very recently white peonies that I planted for Mother's Day for you, Mom. And that was only a few weeks ago. And now they're blooming.
I saw the photos.
And we'll post those photos on our Instagram handle. That's at West Coast Garden Girls. And you'll be able to see all types of images of our yard and other projects that we're working on as we move along. And lastly, I have this giant fig tree that is so mature at this point. I'm not even sure if it's going to continue producing fruit, but it does create a wonderful amount of shade and lushness and privacy, in our sort of shoulder to shoulder little neighborhood that I live in San Francisco. So that's all the stuff that I have planted. And, you know, reading back through all of it, I realize it's quite a lot over the years. And I've also had a lot of plant fails as well. So how about you, Mom? Describe your garden.
My garden is, I have roughly, I would say 3,600, maybe 4,000 square feet to work with under cultivation, I would say. About 650 square feet of that or so is dedicated to my vegetable garden and a peach tree. And there's probably around 350 square feet of lawn. And I'm keeping that 350 square feet of lawn in spite of what other people may think about the merits of ripping up your lawn and replacing it with plants that don't require as much water. I think grass definitely serves a function both visually and ecologically. It is a great method for cooling an area, not just through the evaporation, but also it gives the eyes a place to rest when you have a large garden space. So I like my lawn, what's left of it. Now, having said that I have 350 square feet of lawn, I'm also going to point out that that represents probably less than a third of what we started with about 3 years ago. So we've done a good job of eliminating a lot of lawn and turning that into a place where we can grow edibles and ornamentals as well. I would describe my garden style as Mediterranean. It's, as we mentioned earlier, it's fairly eclectic, but I think Mediterranean kind of captures it, which involves the use of color. Unlike you, Leslie, who has barely dipped her toe into the field of color in the yard, but
I let California poppies grow wherever they like to pop up in my yard, and I consider
there you go
doing my my job to impart color into the yard just a tiny bit. Yeah.
All right. I do like your green and white. It's very sophisticated. It's very pretty. So, I mean, there's no right style and no wrong style. It's just, I encourage everyone to just do what floats their boat. What do they get excited about? So Mediterranean, I would say color, soft shapes, fairly informal. It's not a very formal Versailles type of garden. Usually involves a lot of citrus, lavender, olive trees. You know, think about southern France, Italy, northern Greece. You know, what would you expect to find there? A Mediterranean garden should not be, don't confuse it with the fact that we live in a Mediterranean climate. I mean, the two obviously go hand in hand because our Mediterranean climate with our hopefully wet winters but dry summers is conducive to growing Mediterranean style plants. Obviously, that goes hand in hand. But by style, I'm talking about what do you incorporate into your yard. Water features, very prominent. You know, when you think about a Mediterranean garden, you're thinking about people trying to create a respite from the intense heat, give themselves some shade and some cooling and, Here in Livermore, we probably have a climate much more akin to what you would find around the Mediterranean, the hot, hot summers, easily in the 90s, frequently over 100, and hopefully a wet enough winter to keep everything flourishing. So my zone here is, if you use the Sunset Western Garden zone map, I'm in zone 14. If you use the USDA zone map, I'm in zone 9B. Those are two different processes that are used. The Sunset Western Garden zones are a little more detailed. I like using them because they take into account elevation, exposure, are you coastal or are you inland? The USDA zone map, still very useful, still helpful, strictly rely on average temperatures, nothing more, okay? But they're still accurate, they're still useful. So whichever one you're comfortable with, go with. Or if you're curious about a plant or what zone you're in, check them both out. You can Google either one of them. So that's kind of my garden. What do I have growing in here? I have lavender, citrus, Meyer lemon. I love my Meyer lemon. Mm-hmm. I have dwarf pomegranate in large, large pots. I have a Japanese maple, which probably is not the smartest choice for our climate, but it has managed to survive, and it's stunning. I love it, especially in winter when all the leaves are off and it gets that coral bark glistening in the rain. It's really pretty. I have a few California natives, including woolly blue curls, which require zero summer water. In fact, you will probably kill them if you water them in the summer.
Mm, really?
There's also a native penstemon called Margarita Bop. Does very well with very little water, no summer water. Cistus, which is not a native. It's also called rock rose. Again, no summer water. Lantana requires very little. I have that growing over a support wall, a retaining wall at the edge of the house. Lots of herbs, chives, rosemary, basil. What else? In my vegetable garden right now, I have the remnants of my onions, which I probably won't be able to harvest for another month or so. I've planted tomatoes, cucumber, squash, flowers. I'm a big believer in mixing your flowers in with your vegetables, mm-hmm. and your vegetables in with your flowers and mm-hmm. shrubs.
I agree.
It's great for attracting pollinators and also for attracting beneficial insects to keep the nasty bugs off of your plants. So what else do I have going on? I have a wisteria, which I love.
My
it's
favorite.
It's a bit of a bug. It requires a lot of hair cutting this time of year, and it will continue to require a lot of hair cutting up until all the leaves fall off. So it's worth it. It's worth it for just the shade that it provides and those beautiful blossoms that come out in the spring. They don't last long, but they're glorious while they last. So that's kind of, I recently planted, just yesterday in fact, two scented geraniums. They smell like orange fizz.
Mm.
It's not the flowers that give off the scent, but if you rub the leaves, it's very intense. It's wonderful.
So that seems like the kind of thing where you'd almost want to plant it in abundance so that you kind of brush by it as you're walking through.
Exactly. It's great to put along a pathway near your front door if you have the right exposure. Anywhere where you're going to be tempted to touch it, you know, where it's not tucked away, where you don't have physical contact with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of fun. I have roses. I have a climbing rose bush over a pergola. I have a lot of salvia. Salvia is very attractive to hummingbirds, bees, pollinators, butterflies. It's great. And I have a lot of birds. It has nothing to do with plants, but I have a lot of birds in my yard. And I do have a water fountain. So we have the water feature to kind of tie in with that Mediterranean theme. And that's about it. That's my yard.
Oh, that's all. Yes. Yeah. All many thousand square feet of it. Yes. Yeah, I do love that fountain when you got it. I mean, obviously, just loving, again, a vibe in the yard. I think that's really is just one of the most wonderful finishing touches. And if I had known I felt so strongly about that, I would have added a fountain to my yard a lot sooner than when I did, which is very recent. The other feature that I love about your yard that I think is just very distinctive and very pretty is you have this beautiful stained glass chandelier that you have hung from a trellis with a couple of chairs underneath it that just hangs outside as though it's this wonderful ethereal, just outdoor room. And so I think we could probably do an entire episode about how to sort of bring those indoor elements outside and think of our yards as an extension of our homes, rather than, you know, just this is indoors, this is outdoors. It's almost like, how do you get those two things to marry in a way that's really elegant? So I love that feature too.
I'm glad you brought that up because we were talking about the motivation for doing this podcast, which made me think about my motivation for gardening. Why do I garden? And that's a big, big part of it for me is expanding my definition of home. You know, my home is not just the space that I walk into when I come through the door. My home encompasses all of it. I love to spend a lot of time outside, obviously, or I wouldn't be a gardener. But I like creating, I like taking spaces and making them pretty. And that is a very subjective term. You know, what's pretty to me is not necessarily pretty to someone else. And what's pretty to you doesn't have to be pretty to anybody else. You're creating this space for yourself, but it expands your living space. It expands your places of rest. So yes, we do have, I probably have one, two, three, at least three, maybe four places in my backyard where I can park myself. And they're in different parts of the yard, depending on time of day and what I'm doing and where I want to sit, you know? So I have a friend, Gail, who loves to say, she tells her husband, I don't know what I like better, stepping out into my garden in the morning with a cup of coffee or coming out into my yard in the evening with a glass of wine. Ooh, but amen. The point is, she loves her yard, right? She's a fabulous gardener. She loves her yard. She uses that space. And if you don't like coffee and you don't like wine, fill in your own blank.
But sure. You can have your tall glass of water. And I completely agree with the idea of just creating different vantage points, simply by moving a seat around or by creating multiple seating opportunities or table sitting opportunities. It takes what, you know, in my case, at least, is a very small yard and makes it feel big just by giving myself different angles that I can view it and enjoy it from. And so even though it's quite small, I still have like a stone bench in the back corner, which is a completely different view from if you, you know, put a chair inside of my greenhouse. Sometimes I'll pop in there and I'll read a book. And that's different from the view out my kitchen window, which, you know, I am known to stare out of for what feels like hours. My partner Wayne thinks I'm absolutely crazy. Sometimes he'll come home and I'll just be staring out the window. So yeah, I love that perspective. I think it's very, it's both pretty, but also a little bit deeper. Yes, I also agree with the wine notion. That's, to be honest, that's my motivation for gardening. I do find it to be very therapeutic. I love that it gives me a reason to be out in the sun and be outdoors and to take a break every once in a while. But my, you know, if I'm being fully transparent, my motivation for gardening is that I love to party. I'm holding a glass of red wine right now. And so I design the garden and I maintain it so that I can entertain. I love having dinner parties back there. I love entertaining guests. Even though our apartment itself is quite small, I feel like I can have more people over and have more company when we're back there. So that's my real motivation behind it. I also think of my garden as kind of a starter garden. You know, there are definitely things that I would have done differently, and we'll get into that. But it's experimental, and I don't even want to think about how much money I've poured into it as just a renter of the space, but I don't think that a single penny of it was poorly spent, because it's enabled me to learn about what works and what doesn't in my yard, what I like and what I don't like, and how I want to take all of these learnings and apply them to a future home. And so all of those things combined is my motivation for gardening.
All right.
So gosh, that went by really quickly. I think we're at about time. And I think that's really good. I mean, for anybody that wants to tune in and happens to be on the West Coast or not, you know, I think there's a lot of really valuable things that we're going to talk about that have nothing to do with our location. It's just, if you enjoy gardening, there's going to be something that you can learn from this podcast. But we're going to try and keep them short, because, you know, I know people's attention spans are pretty short these days. We're going to try to keep all of our casts to maybe around 30, 45 minutes or so. So I'd say that we're coming up on that just about now. But next week, we'll get into the nitty gritty. So now that we've sort of set the stage and whoever is listening has an understanding of what we're growing, what our aesthetics are all about, and what they can learn from us, then we'll start getting into more granular topics. Particularly, our next episode will be focused on what we would tell our beginner gardener selves. So if we had a time machine, what would we do differently? I know I started making a list for this actually, and it's extensive. So yeah, plenty to talk about there. I know there's a lot that I would have done differently. And you've had a number of yards in your life as well, Mom. And I feel like you probably had a lot of learning experiences that you keep applying over and over again.
That's true. But I will tell you this. What I love about gardening is that it is a constant learning experience. You are never done learning. I always tell people this title of Master Gardener is very lofty. I'm an expert at pretty much nothing, to be honest with you. I have a lot of thin knowledge, not a lot of depth of knowledge. I'm familiar with things that I've planted. I'm familiar with my own experience. But because I do garden for myself, I mean, I'm the one who I'm motivated to garden for my own benefit, for my own joy, for what it gives me. I'm happy to learn as I go. And I would just encourage anyone who is out there listening who is a beginning gardener, and there are a lot of them now, you know, a lot of people are getting interested in producing their own food, growing a vegetable garden. Very popular. Don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. It's not scary stuff. You know, just get out there and get your hands dirty. You haven't heard anyone tell you that in a few months, but, you know, and enjoy it. See what works. I've had a lot of successes. I've had even more failures. So it doesn't matter. It's a plant. Dig it up, throw it away, start over again. Every time you learn, you learn.
Amazing. I couldn't agree more. And I'm excited. Even if it's just the two of us and no one out there to listen in the world, I still think it's going to be a wonderful learning experience. And it's just always fun to have an excuse to chat with you, Mom.
Absolutely.
So yeah, we'll tune in and, you know, we'll call it another week, I guess.
Okay.
We're still getting used to this. And yeah, thank you, listeners. If you want to see visually what's going on in our yards, we're just getting our Instagram up and running, but you might as well go ahead and follow us now. That's at West Coast Garden Girls, girls plural. And you'll be able to see my mother's beautiful face and a couple photos of our yard, just so you can sort of understand what we're talking about. And we'll continue posting to it as we, you know, create more content for everyone. So thank you, listeners. Thank you, Mom.
Thank you. It was fun.
And we'll talk to you again in a week or so.
All right.
Bye now.
Our theme music was produced by the amazing DJ Houseplants, and our podcast was recorded and produced by us in our respective closets. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, and you can follow us on Instagram at West Coast Garden Girls. Talk to you again soon.